Yud Elul, Tuesday the 13th of September, Dr. Sholem Spinger. Blowing hot and cold, the shofar in Elul.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Before I start the shiur proper, listening to Rabbi Yanki's shiur about the Dovid Hashem Oyer B'Yishi, I can corroborate what he says about Frankfurt, because I daven from a Rödelheim Siddur, and it does not have it in at all. I have to stick it in at the back. And by the way, it doesn't have Brichme either, which was not the minig in Frankfurt. But the Meissen, as I say. We actually got to touch on upon this because we too are talking about the Shofar in Elul. Now, there is a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and he says the following. To introduce the subject of the Shofar in Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Ale Eli Hehoro, come up to me to the mountain. And Chazal tell us, of course, and Torah then goes on to explain the Kabel Luchoi Sachroinois. And the Posuk which says, Beheviru Shofar Bamachane, they shall sound the Shofar in the camp, also refers to that date when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain for a third time. Just let me recap the timeline of Moshe Rabbeinu's comings and goings, or goings up, his Yalev Yovois all the time. And that was, of course, on the 6th of Sivan. We have the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu ascends the mountain, stays there 40 days and 40 nights, and the Rabbeinu Shalom teaches him the Torah. Then he comes down on Shivos Batamas, sees what the Yidden are doing, unfortunately breaks the Luchos. Goes up the next day. He goes up to Davin, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to plead for the Yidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is minded to annihilate the Jewish people, even to start it all off with Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Excuse me. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, refuses, and Rabbeinu Shem gives him that special tefillah, the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Mechan. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain. So that's when he's up on the second time. And then he comes down the mountain, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul comes down and, so to speak, already introduces the people to the fact that the Rabbeinu Shem is going to forgive them after all. And he then ascends the mountain for a third time on Rosh Chodesh Elul, stays there for 40 days and 40 nights, and comes down on Yom Kippur, where he brings the second Luchos. That's the timeline. So he goes up and down three times. So the Birkei de Rabbi Eliezer tells us this little bit of history, that on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu ascended the mountain on Rosh Chodesh Elul, they sounded the shofar on that day. Why? Shelo yitu oid achrei avodah zorah, so that they shouldn't make a mistake and worship the Avodah Zorah again at the end of the 40 days, as they did on occasion number one. The first time Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, they miscounted in some way, and because they counted a day short, therefore they started doing the Maaseh Ha'Egel. So in other words, the Shofar was there in order to tell them the counting starts now. It was a signal, a siren if you like. And he also tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nis'aleh with the Shofar. It has a special effect on people, has a special effect on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that mizmor that we say seven times before Tekiyas Shofar, in there is a posuk, which is probably the reason why we say it, Olo Elokim Bisrua Hashem B'Koil Shofar, and you see in that posuk, Olo Hashem Bisrua, the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, goes up. There's some sort of isalus of the Ribbono Shel Olam B'Trua, with Din, and Hashem B'Koil Shofar. Then we got Hashem, which is Midas Harachim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam transitions from Midas Adin to Midas Harachim, and that's why we say that particular mizmor with such fervent and concentrated effort. So we are told, and the Rishonim tell us this, Birkei de Rabbi Eliezer includes this, that Chazal decided to be Mesaken Tekiyas Shofar during Elul because of that Tekiyas Shofar that Moshe Rabbeinu had when he went up the mountain for the third time. So one is related to the other. And the Rosh adds that, in fact, at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, 3,300 years ago, There was just one sounding of the shofar for the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain. But we do it the whole month. And he says that the idea is so that Klal Yisrael should do tshuva. We all know shofar and tshuva, you know, are the same thing, and one causes the other, one stimulates the other. We know that well. But to reinforce the point, the Rosh tells us that Chazal instituted Tkiyas Shofar Be'elul so that we should do tshuva. And he quotes the Pasuk, very famous, which is quoted in all Sforim, Mitoka Shofar Be'ir, V'om Lo Yechrodu. Shofar has this ability to stimulate the emotion. I always think that stimulates the emotion can be in many ways. They use the shofar for war, they use the shofar for all sorts of things. So it stimulates the emotion. And when your emotion, when your mind is concentrated on tshuva, it'll stimulate you to do tshuva. It's a stimulant or something. So there are various minhagim, as we just discussed in the previous shir, bianki, that to blow the shofar. In fact, in the old Adas, I seem to remember quite well, that they would blow the shofar in the afternoon. If Mincha and Maariv was davened early, then they would blow the shofar after the Dovid Hashem of Maariv, the early Maariv, in the afternoon. Maybe they still do. Before the Dovid Hashem, of course, sorry. Before the Dovid Hashem, quite right. So it's Kenzai, they still have that minute. But I remember as a child, it's like he used to do that. So, they still do. Aliyom is it. Yeah, excellent, we don't change. So the original purpose of blowing that shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, was to avoid an accounting mistake. That was the reason. Yeah, we shouldn't miscount. So Chaim Friedlander asks, well, in which case, what is the connection to the shofar that we've just been talking about, which is the shofar that blow every day, which has all got to do with tshuva? Because that wasn't at the time a shofar shel tshuva. That at the time was merely a signal, a siren. Don't make a mistake when you count. Count properly. This is the first day Moshe Rabbeinu is going up, so at the end you don't make any sort of mistake. And then, how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nis'aleh? What does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nis'aleh? Well, you touched on that by translating the Pasuk, that Rabbi Shalom moves from Midas Adin to Midas Arachmim in some way through the shofar. But the kasha remains that the shofar back then, when Moshe Rabbeinu had it blown, was different from the shofar that we blow today. What's the connection? How did we derive it? So he says, and he explains this in quoting Rabbi Yeruchim Mimir, that the mistake that they made at the time when they did the Egel wasn't just a counting mistake. And then you say, we got to 39, got to 40, and it was only day number 39. And he explains something which we'd nowadays call psychological. And he explains the following, quotes this, Horoitzer litois yito. Person who wants to make a mistake will make a mistake. And so the point is that when they were counting and miscounting, it wasn't just a pure mistake. There are accidents and accidents, there are different sorts of accidents. Sometimes it's a pure mistake, but sometimes there's a bit of subconscious help that's going on. We're not so upset when this mistake is made and we get this particular result. We're quite happy. So this actual quotation comes from a very interesting place. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed in Bereishis to write Nase Odom B'Tzalmeinu, at first he was very, worried about writing those words. Nase Odom B'Tzalmeinu, do you know, said to the Rabbi Shem, what the upper chorusmen are going to do with this? They're going to say that there's Shnei Rishuyos. And they're going to say all sorts of things. But Rashi tells us the reason why the Rabbi Yisrael instruct him to write that Nasa Odom, says Rashi, that Anivus, Anvanusoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, applies everywhere. So even the Rabbi Yisrael, Kabiochel, is nimbler, consults with lesser beings. So he consulted with the Malachim, which is a Musa to us, which is a lesson to us that we, even in elevated places perhaps sometimes, should consult with others and not go it alone. So you've got a conflict between the Musa that Nase Odom would give the people, and on the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint that the Apokorosim will say there's more than one Chas V'Shalom Rebbeinu Shloim. And it seems the Rebbeinu Shloim, as far as he's concerned, let the Musa dominate the question about whether to write that or not, write Nase Odom, and the Apokorosim will make hay anyway. They'll find all sorts of reasons. And this is where the quotation comes from. They'll find a way to make a mistake if they really want to. So write the Musa, write Nase Odom, and that is much more important than losing this whole idea. So Rabbi Yeruchim Mimir explains that it may not always be conscious. The fact that we are moving towards making a mistake may be something that our subconscious is actually in charge at this moment, and it finds its way out and the person will err, the person will make a mistake, and sometimes that happens. And that really was the problem when they were counting the days, the 40 days when Moshe and Aaron went up the mountain first time. And you can see that from the alacrity, from the speed, after they found out that, or they thought, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming down, and the Sotan was doing all sorts of tricks in the clouds, etc., and showing them pictures of Moshe Rabbeinu in a coffin. They moved so fast to press Aaron to make that egel. You know, the right course should have been, let's wait a day, let's think about it, actually Moshe Rabbeinu is delayed, etc. There are all sorts of, but they rushed to that conclusion. And so you see, it's not just pure accounting error, there was also an element of Aveira in there. And therefore, the shofar that they blew on Rosh Chodesh when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, again for the third time, wasn't just a signal, a siren, it was also a shofar shel tshuva. So we have a perfect teretz here. The kasha was that the institution of the Chachomim, of a shofar during Elul, is in order that we should do tshuva. That's not similar to the shofar that was blown at Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet, Chachomim modelled it on that. The answer is that that was a shofar shel tshuva there. They needed a kapora there for their miscounting at that time. And therefore, you need a kapora, so therefore, it carries over really very nicely. And it's much clearer now when we talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam in this Aleh B'Shofar. What we mean is that the Ribbono Shel Olam moves from Midas Hadin, from the Kisei Hadin, and he moves and sits on the Kisei Shel Rachamim, and he does that through this vehicle, which is called Tshuva, which is brought about by the Shofar. So it's something which is a package, if you like, and we can achieve great things by blowing that Shofar, being stimulated to Tshuva, and the Tshuva will bring wonderful results. So therefore, it is the same thing. It's, so to speak, Hayne Hach. The shofar has the power to waken up our emotions. And of course, that really was the, if you like, the stimulus of Kadosh Baruch Hu, if I may put it that way, to give us a second chance in Luchas Achronos. We lost the Luchas Rishonos. And so we needed, and the Rosh Hashanah promised us, Luchas Achronos. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu went up, as we learned from Pirkei Dov Elezer. He went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul to be mekabel the Luchos Achronos. Okay, he stayed up there for 40 days and 40 nights. Freit Rebbe Dessler, a really obvious question. On the first occasion that Moshe went up the mountain, and he stayed there for 40 days, Ribbono Shel Olam taught him the whole of the Torah. Now you're talking about the best Rebbe in the world, and presumably the best pupil in the world. So the learning must have been, you know, completely intense and complete. Moshe Rabbeinu knew Kol HaTorah Kula when he came down that mountain. So he knew it backwards and forwards. So Freit Rebbe Dessler, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to go up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights? He knew it already. What was he going to do up there? Write the Luchos? It doesn't take 40 days to write out the Ten Commandments on the Luchos. So what was he doing for 40 days and 40 nights? Freit Rebbe Dessler. It's what we call in Yeshivish circles a bomba kasha. It really is. Yeah, what was he doing up there? It's a bomba kasha. So he says something very, very interesting. And that is that there is a difference, a very, very great difference between the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shniyos. And Klal Yisrael, as they were when they received, or meant to receive, the Luchos Rishonos, that means on Vav Sivan, how Klal Yisrael were at the time and how Klal Yisrael are now. And what he talks about, of course, is Baalei Tshuva. We've got another meaning for that word nowadays, possibly. But we all want to be Baalei Tshuva. That's the idea of the whole of Elul, of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. We want to be Baalei Tshuva, yeah, as in the original sense. People are chayzer from Aveira, and we want help, we want assistance in doing that, and so we are given certain aids in order to achieve that particular position of being Baalei Tshuva. Now the fact is that there is a difference, as I said, between Klal Yisrael back then on Vav Sivan and the Luchos that were meant to be given to us, and Klal Yisrael now with the second Luchos. And the difference was this, that the first Luchos were totally from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Kula Kodesh, the Ksav, the writing of course, and the stones as well, the Kula Kodesh, they're all Me'ez Hashem, pure Kedusha. They were going to be given to Klal Yisrael, who also were pure Kedusha. Because remember what Klal Yisrael had done. After they came out of Mitzrayim, they went up the stairs of 49 Shari Kedusha, and they jettisoned, they got rid of the 49 Shari Tumah. And so they were Nis'aleh themselves to a tremendous Madrega. And we are told that their Madrega was nothing less than Odom Harishon Koidem Achet. So they reached the Strait Madrega, and so therefore the Luchois, which were Kula Kodesh, that were intended for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, were a sort of Motzo Min Es Minoi. It was ideally suited to Klal Yisrael as they were at that moment. Erev Vov Sivan, Erev Shavuos, when they were going to hear the voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam, they were Kula Kodesh, and the Luchois matched their Madrega absolutely at that point. So in other words, they took themselves up step by step to get to that Madrega of Kedusha, and when they were that Madrega of Kedusha, then they were roi to get the Torah, which was also Kula Kodesh, because they were the Luchois that were made by the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, there's an enormous difference between that situation and the situation that pertains on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Or in fact, later on Yom Kippur, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchos. What's the difference? The difference is that we've meantime gone through the whole Maaseh Egel. We've gone through the Maaseh Egel, and so the Yidden were now sinners. Yeah, they were Chaytim. And therefore, they can no longer get that sort of Luchos that was intended for them in the first place, which is Kula Kodesh, because they weren't Kula Kodesh anymore. Klal Yisrael were on a completely different Madrega. And therefore, it makes an enormous difference. So they had to get Luchos which was suited to their present state. What is their present state? Their present state is Klal Yisrael, who are no longer on the 49th Shahr of Kedusha. They actually have done an Avera, so they need to get a Torah which is different in the sense of what you can learn from it. It's the same Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up that mountain, stay there for another 40 days, in order to learn the Torah again in a completely new oifen. A completely new way, a Torah that would be suitable for Balei Tshuva, people who have done a sin and want to raise themselves. And it's very, very interesting that he describes, Ruchaim Friedlander describes, and it's of course described everywhere, the Luchos Achronos, which starts of course with the words Psol Lecha. So what the Ribbono Shel Olam insisted on was, I'm not going to give you the stones this time, you're going to bring the stones up. So, you know, there can't be anything more material than a lump of stone. Okay, so we start with a lump of material, which is real material. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, bring this up the mountain, ve'echtoiv, and I will write on it. So what's going on here? Let's see the mechanics of what's going on. You bring up something that is gush, that is gashmius, and can't be more so than that. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I will raise that gashmius into something which is a dovah kodesh. By writing on it, I make that Gashmius and Dovah Kodesh, which is different from the first. In the first place, the Brashim actually made the stones, so it was Kodesh in itself. These stones didn't start out with any Kedusha. The Kedusha was, so to speak, superimposed on them by the writing of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and now they become something which is Kodesh. Now, doesn't that match exactly the process of the Eden? The Eden have gone through the Egel, and therefore they're on the lower Madrega, and they now need raising. So it's a different process. Whereas, I said before, the process of Kabbalah Satayra with them before was the Eden raising themselves up to the 49th Shah of Kedusha. Now it's the other way round, in a sense. We need a Torah to help us raise ourselves from state of being a sinner into a state of being a Baal Tshuva. And those Luchos, which were made by Moshe Rabbeinu in the first place and raised in Kedusha by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the very vehicle which fits us. So, Barosi Yetzahara, now, and Barosi Torah Telvelin. That's now the order of the day. No longer can we claim to be on that very, very high Madrega, such that we can receive Luchos as we were meant to in the first place. So that's the difference between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Achronos, and the Eden in the first place, and the Eden in their now state, in the state that they are now. Okay, so that's also the idea of Chasavti Al Luchos, that it raises them to be in B'nei Chayrin. While we are in the grip of Avera, we are not ourselves, we're not free. Once we are freed from Avera, then we become B'nei Chayrin. And that's the whole idea that we say on Shabbos, Chayrus, Chorus, Chorus, Chayrus. Yeah, they interchange, because what it does, what these Luchos do, will help us to change in such a way that we are now Chayrus. So this Hanhoga that the Ribbono Shel Olam allows us to do tshuva and allows us this route to coming back, this is the Hanhoga of Rachamim. And it's the midah that allows passage towards the Ribbono Shel Olam that we could never pass if it was going to be done al pi midas adin. We'd never get through midas adin. We need the rachamim to be in place in order that we have passage to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is the bechina, the symbol of luchos shniyos. And that's the work that Moshe Rabbeinu did during the middle 40 days, which we'll focus on for a few minutes. Now, the middle 40 days, what was that all about? That was that Moshe Rabbeinu created, so to speak, an environment such that the Rabbi Yishim was now in the middah of the Midas Rachamim, and the Zohar Kodesh tells us that what Moshe Rabbeinu did helps us to the present day. Because he opened the Shari Rachamim then and there during the second 40 days, during the middle group of 40 days, those Shari Rachamim that were opened then can never be closed. The Zohar says they can't be closed, so therefore they're still open today. All we need to do is walk through them. When we walk through them, then of course it's very different. So what happened during these middle 40 days? So, as we know, at the end of it, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, Slach li kedvarecha, so we're getting forgiveness. And the Medrash Taka says that, Uminayin shenisratze v'rotzen sholem, how do we know that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was completely nisratze after this process? Because it says, V'anochi amadati v'haki yomim harishoinim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, in regard to the second luchos, that I stood on the mountain, Kiyomim Rishoinim, and Chazal tell us Ma, that Ma Harishoinim Berotsoin, just as the Rishoinim were completely Berotsoin, as we know, Afacharoinim Berotsoin, so therefore there was complete unity between the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael during the Luchos Achroinos, we had proper forgiveness. But the Imtsuiin, but the middle 40 days, that was Bekas. Moshe was very angry with us when Moshe Rabbeinu went up for the second time to plead on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu made superhuman efforts during those 40 days to try and salvage and save Klal Yisrael from annihilation. So what would be interesting is just to have a look at what Moshe Rabbeinu said. What did he say during this particular time? And in fact, the Chumash in Devarim tells us that he used four tainas. He said four things to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam which were so persuasive that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, if I may put in big, big quotes, changed his mind. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam relented from the annihilation of Klal Yisrael, and instead, of course, we met Mechayel Achoyel and we got the second Luchos. What were the tainas of Moshe Rabbeinu? And they come into three categories. They are, firstly, the schus that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had, so to speak, because of the Yetzias Mitzrayim story. Let me just read the psukim for you. Vayispalel, this is Devarim, capital Tes. Vayispalel al Hashem va'aymah, Hashem Elokim. Al tashcheis amcho v'nachlosecho, asher hodiso begodlecho. In a nutshell, how we can explain that is exactly what we're saying. Zchus Yitzias Mitzrayim. We know from so many psukim in Shmayis, Va'era, and Boi, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells us in so many places, Kein Kamayni, Kol Ha'eretz, etc., lots and lots of psukim, which is all brought, by the way, and explained in the Ramban at the end of Boi. Yeah, why did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam do the whole Maisa of Yitzias Mitzrayim, 10 plagues? Could have done it with one plague. And nevertheless, he goes to 10 plagues. Because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was actually demonstrating to the world who he is and what is Koich Hazar. It's the first time the world has seen the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That is the explanation of the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim story and why it's protracted like that and why it's got 10 plagues. Because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is now demonstrating for all the world to see. So in other words, there's an enormous amount of investment there on behalf of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, your investment's going to go up the chute. If you now annihilate Klal Yisrael, all that's gone out of the window. You have no effects anymore. If I may put it this way, there's no evidence anymore. The evidence will be gone. What is your evidence for the Yetzias Mitzrayim story? It is, after all, Klal Yisrael at the end of the day. You annihilate Klal Yisrael, and your evidence is gone. And all that investment, the godlecho, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the world saw, is now finished and gone. It's vaporized. So that's the first taina that Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Yeah, all that investment. So that's the first one. The second one is chusovis. Second one is, and he says as that Schoel Avadech al Avram Yitzur Yaakov al Teifen al Kshiho Mazeh al Rishoy al Chatose. Normally we think of Schus Ovois because the Ovois led such glowing lives. Therefore, the fact that they led those sorts of lives, we should still sort of be within the afterglow of all that and be Zoicha Badin, be Zoicha to a continued existence because of the Ozotros of the Ovois. In fact, the Pasuk says something slightly different. Avada, that's true as well. But the schus obeis that Moshe Rabbeinu is suggesting to Rebbeinu Shel Olam is like this, because he says the words, Al teifin ekshiyah omazeh. Don't look at the stubbornness of the people. You know, there's two parts to Klal Yisrael. Yes, we sometimes do our various. Yes, we sometimes sort of fall by the wayside or go out and get out of line. But there's another side to Klal Yisrael. Why are you only looking at this side, the bad side of Klal Yisrael? Look at the good side. Look at the obvious. The obvious is also part of Klal Yisrael. Al teifen el kshir omazeh. Don't just look at the downside of Klal Yisrael. Look at the upside as well. So Tainus to the Rebbein Shalom, Schus Obis, means that we also have, as part of our Klal Yisrael, we have the effect and the behavior of the obvious, which was exemplary. So that was Taina number two. What's Taina number three? Taina number three is this. We call it, in a nutshell, Chilul Hashem. Rabbi Shalom, it's going to be a terrible Chilul Hashem. And this divides into two parts, two very interesting parts, because the Pasuk actually tells us two very distinct things. So number three is like this. Number three, part one. He says, Penyoim Ruho Oretz Ashehoi Tseisona Mishom, the people in the land from which you took us out, Mitzrayim and others, no doubt, Mibliya Choylas Hashem Lavim La'oretz, Asher Dibbe Elohim. It's because the Boishim didn't have the koyach to bring them into Eretz Canaan. Very powerful country, as we know from Parashat Shlach Lecha, giants and walls and all sorts of defences. Presumably they had their nukes, etc. And everything. And because when the Boishim was facing the prospect of taking Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, he found he just couldn't. Didn't have the koyach. You know what a Chilul Hashem that is? After all those demonstrations of the great power of the Rebbein Shalom, now, the last hurdle, you're going to fail utterly. And so what's your solution? Kill Klal Yisrael off. In other words, to avoid the Chilul Hashem. Tremendous Chilul Hashem you're going into. So that's the Chilul Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu is suggesting to the Rebbein Shalom, part one. That's the first one, he says. The second one is, if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have this relationship with the Rebbein Shalom, he couldn't have said this. He says the following words. I'll just read it. I'm not making this up. Moshe Rabbeinu says, do you know what they're going to say if you kill off Klal Yisrael here in the desert without taking them to Eretz Canaan? It says it's because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the Gresler anti-Semit. He's a bigger misinosim because he hates Jews. So what did he do? He took them out of Mitzrayim, planted them in the desert and wiped them out. And that was the whole plan. The whole plan was to take Klal Yisrael out of the out of Mitzrayim and actually annihilate him. That's what they'll say. Now you might feel, that's silly, it's impossible. Let me remind you, day before yesterday, 9/11. On Sunday, it was the anniversary of the 15th, I think, anniversary of 9/11. Everybody knows, the FBI, know every single detail, bank account, relationship, every single move of every single one of those involved in 9/11. The FBI know everything about them. Yeah, and they were, of course, all from the Middle East. Yeah, not our Middle East, their Middle East. Okay, from the Arab countries. All of them. They know every single detail. Yet, that doesn't stop people saying it was the Jews. It was a Jewish plot. It doesn't stop people. In other words, it doesn't matter how impossible the complaint is or how impossible the claim is. Even if they know it's ridiculous, they'll still say it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Rebbein Shalom, you know what they'll say, ridiculous as it might sound, Misinoson, it's because of the Rebbein Shem's hatred of Klal Yisrael, that's why he did it. So there's another Chilul Hashem there. So Chilul Hashem divides into two parts. Okay, so therefore the Rebbein Shem accedes to Moshe Rabbeinu's wishes that Klal Yisrael should in fact be saved. Let me end off with, having examined that and the role of the second 40 days, something said to us by Rav Elia Lapian explains the following. We say in davening morning, keep a kor tzu oylomim. Tzu oylomim means that there are worlds involved here. Keep a kor, yud hey. And the Gemara debates with itself that obviously oylomim, one of them means oylom hazer, and one of them means oylom habo. There is a taina to say that the yud is oylom hazer, and the hey is oylom habo, and there's a taina faket. Because you could say Olam Hazeh should be first, because chronologically it's always first. We live first in Olam Hazeh, and then we transition over to Olam Habo. You could, on the other hand, say, no, Olam Habo should be mentioned first, because that's the Tachlis. We mention the Tachlis first, and then the Minyas. So the question is, in the end, the Gemara decides that the Yud Taka is Olam Habo, and the He is Olam Hazeh. Rav Elia, with others, explains the following. And this is the route to tshuva. Olam Hazeh is the world in which we have another chance. We're given another chance. And the reason why the hay represents tshuva and represents Olam Hazeh is because the shape of the hay, I hope I'm doing it right for you, it's right for me, maybe it's the other way around. But the hay, here's the hay, has a big space at the bottom and a little space up above. The big space at the bottom is, sometimes mefalta doch. Sometimes we fall through it, we do an Aveira, and we fall out. So we want to do tshuva, so the initial reaction is, right, I'll go back the way I came. But no, Chazal tell us it's not like that. That's not the way of tshuva. You fall out one way, you come back another way. So that little space on top is for us to get back, but it can't be the same way. Adam HaRishon did full tshuva. He did, sat for 120 years, and he did tshuva, and the Rabbeinu Shalom forgave him. Nevertheless, as earlier, Adam HaRishon never managed, so to speak, Rabbeinu Shalom never replaced him back into Gan Eden. Never got there. Why not? And he says with a sort of pshitus that if he'd gone back there, that Aveira of the Eitz Hadas would have been done all over again. Adam HaRishon, either him or the generation that follow, it would have been done all over again. So we had to have a different matzav, a different environment in which to exist, whereby tshuva can be done and we come back another way. And the Master Rosh Hashiva used to say that we've got to find Eitzes. He used to say, Zuchen Eitzes, you want to do something? We all want to do tshuva. And we say to ourselves, I'm going to be better this year. I'm going to be better. Well, yes, we're going to try and be better. But Lamai said, if that's all we say, we're going to be better without changing anything, we won't be better. We'll just slide back into our old ways. If you want to be better, the Master Rosh Hashiva says, you've got to zuchen eitzes. You've got to find a way in order, in other words, it forces you to do the things you want to do. We should be zoicha to have the special hashpos. We know now from what we've learned that this time during Elul is Yimei Rachamim, especially Mesugal for Yimei Rachamim. We just have to walk through the gates and we'll be with Zoicha Badin. Sure.